Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Diary of a Common Man. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you for joining me once again. Last week, we began our discussion on the inhuman practice of indoctrination. This week, we will expand upon the mind control techniques deployed by Aga Khani system. But before we do that, some housekeeping. I receive many inquiries on a daily basis. One of the popular ones is, which religion do I belong to now that I have left Aga Khanism? I have clarified this on a number of occasions, but I continue to get this question, what religion do I belong to now? So once again, I say the same thing to you. I do not follow any religion or any faith-based system. Many Muslims have also invited me to come and join the mainstream Islam now that I don't have any religion. Now, without causing any offense to my Muslim brothers and sisters who are very dear to me, unfortunately, Islam is also a faith-based system. Right or wrong, that is not the question. But it is a faith-based system and I have no intention of following it or any other faith or any other religion for that matter. Rest assured, I have studied it, I have understood it, and I've learned some good things from it. But I will not subscribe to any faith-based system. I hope you will respect my choice. Thankfully, our volunteer count is growing by the day. And the good news is that we have finally found a lawyer. Thank you, Gyas. So now we have an investigative reporter, we have an advocate, we have several entrepreneurs, and we have even more Aga Khani detectives. So thank you all. I really, really, really appreciate it. A story has just emerged from India, and if the details are true, it is a story of betrayal of Aga Khani murid by the Aga Khani system. Indian police is still investigating this case as we speak. Last week, I received a call from a supporter in India who has made me aware of this fraudulent activity. And this supporter is a part of the whole story. But fortunately, so far what I hear is this supporter is seeking help, which tells me that he is trying to do good and his intentions are good. But this is what I have been told. The way this property scam works is, Aga Khan Foundation owns Jamaat Khana properties in India. Now, they don't buy them. The followers actually donate them. But the way properties are donated to Aga Khan Foundation is a little strange. Now, just like everything else in Aga Khani system, this is also a little bit complex. So, we'll have to understand the plot. So, step number one is, someone within the system designs a fraudulent plot. And my viewer can take a guess. And the step number two is, once the plot has been written, they recruit Aga Khani murids, unsuspecting murids, to commit the fraud. If the murid is caught, they turn their backs on the murids. The story is as follows. In 2017, leaders of the Aga Khani system selected a few bhagats. Remember, the bhagats are those people who are very devout devotees of Aga Khan. They love the imam like nobody else does. So, in 2017, the leaders selected a couple of bhagats. Bhagats are told that they have been selected. In fact, they are very lucky to donate a piece of land to Aga Khan Foundation. For any follower, this is the biggest honor ever. Now, they are told they will receive 5 lakh rupees in cash by a housing society, which they will bank in their own bank accounts. Step number 2. Housing society will sell them a piece of land. They will settle the piece of land by issuing a check to the housing society. Remember, they already received the cash and the cash is in the bank. Now they will issue a check to the housing society with that money. Once the land is transferred in their name, they will send a letter to Aga Khan Foundation that they wish to donate the land. All is well. But the next step was for Aga Khani institution, that is Aga Khan Foundation. What they do is, once they receive the letter of donation, they arrive and accept the donation, in this case the piece of land. But in this particular case, before Aga Khan Foundation representatives come and collect the land, the scheme actually malfunctioned. One disgruntled Aga Khani leader tipped off the police. What was the allegation? Allegation was that the housing society sold the land to the Bhagats for 5 lakh rupees when the government value was 40 lakh rupees. Now, this is tax fraud. Police began its investigation and found the allegations to be true. They issued arrest warrants against the Bhagats and the housing society. To make matters worse, these Bhagats are 75 years and over. When they heard about the arrest warrants, they fled their houses and became fugitives. And even worse, they were not told that the housing society has undersold the property to them. Now, they have acted in good faith and love for the Imam. Now comes the most disgusting part, if this is all true, and we will get to the bottom of it. Now, imagine these Bhagats are now living in fear as we speak. Fear of going to jail. Imagine you are 75 years and over, and you are jailed in India. You don't want to be an Indian jail. I've never been to any jail, but I hear and I see Bollywood movies and the documentaries about Indian jails, and you do not want to be there. It is a literal hell. These old Bhagats are facing that prospect, and they are living in fear, as I just said. Now, someone has to come to the rescue, don't they? Who should come to the rescue, you think? Correct. But they don't. So, current secretary of the Housing Society approaches Aga Khan National Council for help. The very council who is suspected of creating the whole scheme, they turn their backs. Disappointed by the council, this secretary tried using his influence with the police to see if he could get the case withdrawn on compassionate basis, that these people are very old and they didn't know what they were doing, they were duped into the system. But the police was unable to help, because that disgruntled Aga Khani leader had lodged an FIR. And once the FIR report is lodged with the police, nobody can do anything. The investigation has to proceed. And in this case, the investigation had taken place. And they found the wrongdoing by the Bhagats and by the housing society. So, police said that, look, we can't help. Sorry, this case will be investigated, even if they try to bribe them. But the police suggested a potential solution. They said the case can be resolved if Aga Khan Foundation was to provide a letter that the donation, that the land was meant for donation purposes. So, in other words, what they're saying is that the Bhagats can argue that, look, or the housing society can argue that, look, the transaction was done at a minimal price for only 5 lakh rupees because it was supposed to be a donation to the Aga Khan Foundation. Okay. So, the secretary approached the council again with the police suggestion that, look, these Bhagats can be saved. Could you please give us a letter? They said, okay, we'll contact Aga Khan Foundation, and they did. And what response did they get from Aga Khan Foundation? They turned their backs. Not only that, they disowned the Bhagats. They had nothing to do with them. Not only that, they instructed the leadership not to cooperate with the police investigation in the future. As we speak, the Bhagats are living in fear of being arrested anytime in this year, 2021. Do you think, if this is true, do you think this is disgusting? I do. But I haven't made up my mind yet. I will get to the bottom of this, and if this is a scam in one Jamaat Khana in India, I know one thing for sure, all Jamaat Khanas in India are owned by Aga Khan Foundation. And if all Jamaat Khanas are owned by Aga Khan Foundation via such schemes, then there is a pattern. Only one entity is the beneficiary, and that is either Aga Khan or the Aga Khan Foundation. So, if all Jamaat Khanas are being donated to them via such a scheme, then the authorities need to know more than this particular case. And we will see if there is any truth or how much truth there is in this. We have already engaged a lawyer and an investigative reporter in India to investigate this matter. We will keep you in touch when we know more. Let us now return to episode 17. As I promised you last week, this week we will go inside the Jamaat Khana once again. This time we will go to see how Aga Khani system has designed rituals, ceremonies and prayers based on mind control techniques, techniques that we identified last week. But before we do that, we must understand the ceremony of Baiya. One needs to take an oath of allegiance to Aga Khan to be a murid. It is this oath that allows Ismaili constitution to bind and govern a murid. A layman can be forgiven for getting an impression that a murid is given a copy of the document, given time to digest it, and then he is given a choice to be bound by the constitution or governed by it. No. In fact, the individual that is accepting the terms and conditions of the constitution is none other than a newborn baby. The newborn baby will be brought to the Jamaat Khana by the educated, forward-looking people to hand over to Aga Khan. And they will accept the terms and conditions of the constitution on behalf of the child. And I have tried asking so many people, what right does the parent have to give the loyalty of the child to someone else? And in response, I was counter-questioned. They asked me, did you ask your child which primary school would he want to go to? Or did you make a choice? It is true, I didn't. I didn't ask my child which primary school would he want to go to. But I knew for a fact that in any school that I send my child to, my child will be taught science, which will demand evidence. Before an idea will become a part of his psyche, he will be taught mathematics, which he will use on a daily basis. He will be taught a language which he will use to communicate with real people on a daily basis. And I knew for a fact that he will not be taken to a fairyland where ideas that are sometimes toxic, will restrict my child's intellectual and reasoning capacity. I knew that. Some people say to me, parents have a right over their child. Because not only do they bring them in this world, but they make numerous sacrifices, and that is true. They have a right over their child, but not over child's individuality. When parents' thoughts, values and beliefs become their children's thoughts, values and beliefs, the child is no longer an individual. Anyway, once a newborn has been accepted to the faith, the previous precious time is not wasted and the indoctrination process begins. Technique number one. The whole idea, I want my viewers to understand this very clearly, the whole idea is to make sure that you identify yourself as a sinner. Whether you are a sinner or not, that's besides the point. You may be a complete saint, you've done nothing wrong, but when you enter the Jamaat Khana, you will have to become a sinner. Not only a sinner, you will have to be a sinner from top to toe. So, Robert Lifton is an American psychiatrist who has researched mind control and brainwashing all his life. And he concludes his research that in order to gain control over other people's minds, the abuser attacks the victim's self-identity by making statements leading them to a delusion. So you have to be a sinner. But what's the problem with you being a sinner? Why don't you be a sinner? Only one, and that is fear. Fear of hell, because they will scare you. They will say to you, you are a sinner, you go to hell. And in hell, you will be burnt, you will be treated in this manner, you will be tortured, you will be treated like this and that. And the graphic images that they show you in different religions, people burning, people's hands and legs are chopped off and blood is flowing everywhere and you are deep fried like a fritter. You can't even imagine the disgusting thought and imagination of whoever wrote these books. Burning in hell for eternity, they will scare you and they will say to you, you are a sinner and you will go to hell. Guess what? If you don't do what we say. The murid is scared. What alternative has he got? How can he prevent himself from going to hell? This is where, for Aga Khanis, Aga Khan comes in. Forgiver of the sin, in return for, yes, dollars. But the dollars can only come when you are a sinner. Hence, it is absolutely critical that you are a sinner. Not only a sinner, but a sinner from top to toe. I know I'm repeating this, but I need you to understand this, that you are a sinner, no matter how good you are. Take note. The system will not talk about how good you are. So what facility does Aga Khani Jamaat Khana have for you to make sure that you believe that you are a sinner? Number one is Dua Karavi. Upon entering the Jamaat Khana hall, a murid walks up to the Mukhi Sahib, the Aga Khani representative, who is seated behind a wooden platform called Pat, hands him some money, folds his hands and says, Tobo tobo taksirdar bando sirta pa gunegar, yasha tu guna bakshe bakshanhar. Meaning, I repent, I'm a sinner from top to toe. O my Lord Aga Khan, forgive my sins as you are the forgiver of sins. So the believer says, I'm a sinner, but saying it once is not going to do the trick. He must repeat that he is a sinner and repeat he is a sinner and repeat he is a sinner and repeat he is a sinner. Repeat from crib to grave. Repeat from crib to grave that he is a sinner. But what is the whole point about repeating? Repeat anything enough and it becomes true. Whether it is true or not, it will become true. Try it. Psychologists prefer to call this law of propaganda, the illusion of truth. Repetition is the most powerful manipulation tool available to the abusers of humankind. I will repeat this. Repetition is the most powerful manipulation tool available to the abusers of humankind. Earlier in the chapter, we discussed the US prisoners of war converted to communism whilst in confinement during Korean War. One of the mind manipulation techniques used was repetition. Every day they were subjected to lectures on perils of capitalism and benefits of communism. In one study conducted in US, participants were asked to rate how true each statement was on a scale, on a 6-point scale, and one where they just categorized each fact as true or false. Repetition pushed the average item up to 6-point scale and increased the odds that a statement would be categorized as true. For statements that were actually fact or fiction, fact known or unknown, repetition made them all seem more believable. Yes, repetition has a power to make us believe what we otherwise would not believe. Dua Karavi is a confession of sins, is a ritual. It is performed every time a murid comes to Jamaat Khana. And murid could come to Jamaat Khana multiple times a day, the way the system works. Murid will repeat this confession during the entire life. Aga Khani system has used repetition so frequently that it has become lethally effective. Whatever the agenda is, system will ensure that Muri's memory space is bombarded with the idea that you are a sinner. And Dua Karavi is hardly the only ritual designed for using repetition as a technique to drive home the agenda. Chhata is a ritual, yet another facility to make sure you remember that you are a sinner. This time you will kneel down in front of the Mukhi Sahib, hand him some money, fold your hands and say, Bando Gunegar, Gad Bakshe, Shapir Bakshe, meaning, I am a sinner, may the commune and Aga Khan forgive me. As if Dua Karavi and Chhata is not good enough, Tasbih is a prayer in Aga Khani system, and there are many Tasbihs in the system that people take out. One of those Tasbihs is Ya Ali Ya Hazir Imam Tu Asaja Guna Maaf Kar, meaning, O Lord my Aga Khan, my Imam, please forgive all my sins. Now, Ginans. There are many Ginans which portray the Murid as a sinner and Aga Khan the savior or the Imam as a savior. Here's one example. Eji bhali batao yasha buri tajavo har doye hath tamare yasha. तेरे तरफ को कर्म हमेशा पाप दोष है मेरा। ओ आगा खान हेल्प मी डू द गुड एंड अवॉइड द इविल। बोथ ऑफ दीज आर एंटायरली इन योर पावर ओ माई लॉर्ड। मर्सी कम्स ऑलवेज फ्रॉम यू एंड ऑल द सिंस एंड द एरर्स आर फ्रॉम मी। Then we have the vases. There are many, many vases available on the net delivered by the great Aga Khani scholars. You can go to ismaili.net or just type vases of different scholars such as Babul, such as Kamaluddin, such as Abu Ali, and you have amazing vases delivered by this great individuals. Here is a link, by the way, for one of those vases. Please listen and enjoy. I did some mathematics the other day, and I have no basis for claiming any accuracy on this number, but according to me, an average Ismaili repeats that he is a sinner 100,000 times during his lifetime. 100,000 times. Yes, it is a shot in the dark, but this number is based on qualified assumptions. Assumption number one, an average Ismaili life expectancy is 75 years of age. Assumption number two, he comes to Jamaat Khana twice a week. Assumption number three, he is a member of at least 7 majlises out of 13 that are available, or even more that are available that I don't know. Assumption number four, attends all important events like Imamat Day, Navroz, Salgare, etc. And Chandrat, of course. According to cognitive science, this 100,000 repetition is more than enough to completely delude a person. Now, you are a sinner. It is time to scare you a little bit. Aga Khani system has got many methods of making you shake in your pants. One of them is the vases, the religious discourses that we just spoke about, but you can hear them online. But there are ginans which are designed to shake in your, to make you shake in your pants. One of them is, Eji jantar jale jivdo saanse todavshe, tare jivdo karshe pukar jire ji. Meaning, the bodily limbs bound by the bondages of sinful activities will be broken by iron instruments. At that painful moment, the soul will regret. And another one is, Eji bhulo te mathano bhejo, kane nisarse ji, til til na lekha sahib leshe. Meaning, if you have forgotten, then the Lord will punish you in such a manner that your brain will protrude from your ears. The Lord will take account of every little thing. Look, there are many, 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 many graphic ginans making you, which are designed to make you shake in your pants. Okay, so the idea, the rituals are connected with the ginans, and together they will make sure that you believe that you are a sinner. Aga Khan is the savior. He will charge you money, but rest assured, he will save you from the hell. That is the whole plot. Now, we come to storytelling. Research into human psychology has long recognized that narrative is a basic organizing principle of memory. In simple words, stories are easy to digest and remember. From cradle to grave, we will either tell or hear the stories. As young children, we will not sleep until our grandmother tells us a story. At religious schools, fiction will be a part of the curriculum, storytelling will be a part of the curriculum. Later, politicians will tell the stories about how they will make our lives better. Cinema will entertain us and tell us different types of stories. And in old age, we will tell the stories to our grandchildren. But what is it about the stories that a child insists upon before going to sleep? What is it about the story that the same child, when he grows up, pays good money to watch a cinema? Let's understand. As human beings, we like to live in the world of imagination. Why? Because this world is full of suffering. Imagination lets us escape. It takes us to a fairyland. Film industry has taken over the imagination of the whole world today. A poor man in India who has trouble making ends meet will somehow find money to watch a movie that takes him away from the cruel reality, albeit for a few moments. That is how scary our life has become. Whether we are poor, whether we are rich, we are disturbed. As materialism grows, mental institutions are also growing on a daily basis. We have made a complete mess out of this life. And it is tragic. And we will talk about this in my next series. We will find solutions to this. But let's come back to imagination. The need to escape is so acute that our minds will even invent things that never happened. If necessary, it will create people who don't exist simply to hold the narrative together. A story writer will write a story. Cinderella is kidnapped. She is locked away in a dark room for days. She wants to go home, etc. To do what? To arouse human emotions. We become involved. We actually become Cinderella for a minute or two. We cry with her and we laugh with her. It's almost an out-of-body experience. We are not us. We are Cinderella. For a few moments, we have come out of our body and we have forgotten about ourselves and our worries and the trials and the tribulations of life. For a few moments. But the film industry has discovered this art of mind captivation only recently. Religions knew about this art. In fact, they perfected this art 5,000 years ago. Even today, the execution of this art by religions and the cults is as effective as it was 5,000 years ago. And you tell me that we have become educated? Is that what you're telling me? Think again. What religions got away with 5,000 years ago, they are still getting away with it. And your education, your forward-lookingness is nothing in comparison to the power of mind captivation. Let me tell you a story. Now that we're talking about story, why don't we do a story this time around? This story is in the Bollywood films. A few films have been made on this story. And it is a story that Aga Khani Peer also became very attached to. In fact, he wrote a Ginan based on this story. And if you would like to read this Ginan, go to internet and type the name of this Ginan. It is called Amarte Ayo. It is a story of King Harishchandra and his queen Taramati. The story goes, once upon a time, there lived a king in India. His name was Harishchandra. Virtuous, just, noble, but he had a problem. He did not believe in God, he was an atheist. Queen Taramati, however, was a firm believer. No, no, not believer in God. Believer in the Imam of the time, the Aga Khani Imam of the time. Because the king was a non-believer, the queen secretly practiced Aga Khani faith. The practice required her to attend the Jamaat Khana in the morning before the sunrise. So each night when the king was fast asleep, in the middle of the night, queen would quietly leave the palace to attend the morning Jamaat Khana. But as usual, queen woke up, got ready to leave for Jamaat Khana, rode her horse Hounslow and left. Little did she know that the king had seen her leaving the palace in the middle of the night. A young, beautiful queen leaving the palace in the middle of the night, outside his knowledge. And king became suspicious. The following night, the queen got up again. Unaware, queen is unaware that the king is wide awake. He is only pretending to be asleep. She got ready, rode her horse Hounslow, left the palace. No sooner she leaves, king follows her and he sees that she has gone to Jamaat Khana. Before she returns, he gets back to the palace quickly and jumps into the bed as if nothing has happened. Soon the queen arrives with a tray full of juro. Juro is a food offering, and in those days it used to be meat. No sooner she enters the room, she is shocked. The king is looking her into the eye, eyes full of suspicion. The queen knew that these were the last moments of her life. She was actually caught red-handed, betraying the king. And we all know the consequence of betraying a king. Now the king is still lying in his bed, wide awake, looking at the queen. And he says, "My dear, I saw a dream. And in my dream, I saw you had gone to your parents' house." And the queen responds, shaking her hand, shaking, and the tray in her hand shaking as well. He said, "My lord, I don't have parents to go to." And the very next moment, the king gets angry. He draws his dagger and demands to see what was in the tray. Now the queen knew that she was as good as dead. She could see the shine on the dagger. If the content of the tray was revealed, the truth will come out. Now, only the Imam can save her. Nobody else can. Her only lifeline was to remember her Mawla, remember her Imam, to save her, her Lord. And presto, no sooner the king lifts the cloth over the tray, the juro has become fruits. The king was dumbfounded. His jaw dropped and his eyes popped out. He was watching a miracle. He had seen the tray before. The meat was there. The juro was there. How can it become fruits? Watching the miracle happening before his eyes, king realizes that the queen's is actually following the true path, the true faith. He now wanted to join her faith. Now the queen is relieved, obviously, but she is happy for a couple of reasons. Firstly, her life is spared. and then the king is willing to join her true faith. But she warns him. She says the faith is not easy. It will demand sacrifice. And the king says, what sacrifice do you want, oh my dear? And I'm willing to give everything. And she tells him, you will have to give a piece of your body, in fact, a liver. And you will also have to give your horse. And you will also have to give your son, Rohidas. King says, I accept. I will give everything. He sacrifices everything. And he becomes an Ismaili. Not only does he convert to Ismailism, but he converts scores of people during his lifetime to the true path. And when he dies, he goes to heaven. And then everyone lives happily ever after. That is the story according to the Gyanan, which is called Amarte Ayo. But there are major problems with this story. This story is not the creation of the Aga Khani Pir. It is in fact a copy and a mutated copy. It is a mutation of a Hindu story of Harishchandra and Taramati, who lived in the Treta Yuga. In other words, this is millions of years ago. Yeah? According to Hindu mythology. That's one problem. There was no Hinduism, there was no Islam, there was no Christianity in those days. So, how did the Imam come and the Ismailism come? Only the Peer knows. But the original story is actually about King Harishchandra and his wife Taramati. What had happened is the king unknowingly had offended a saint, okay, and the saint was threatening him to destroy him completely unless he met some of his conditions. And the king promises him that he will basically meet all the conditions. And the saint keeps on putting conditions on him, like that you will have to sacrifice yourself as a king. You will have to sacrifice your son. You will have to sacrifice your wife. So the king actually, according to Hindu mythology, king sells everything. He sells himself. He goes and works as a cemetery worker. Okay, he sells his wife to somebody else. He sells his son to somebody else. Okay, and he becomes a poor man from a king. That is King Harishchandra. Okay, just to please that saint. That is the original story. And obviously the saint was God. And God was only testing him. And God then found King Harishchandra to be the most noble king, the example of integrity for humankind. That is the story of King Harishchandra, but as you know, Aga Khani system. Now, obviously, the peer chose this story to sell his goods. When he came to India, say 800 years, 900 years ago, to propagate Nizari Ismailism, this story in India was very popular. It was like a Bollywood, Hollywood blockbuster. The story of King Harishchandra and Taramati. Why not take advantage of it? So he created his own unheard story about the king and the queen in the Gyanan called Amarte Ayo. This Gyanan, as I said, is available over the net. That's all time we have for this episode. Next week, we will continue talking about mind control in the Jamaat Khana. Until then, take care of yourself. Goodbye.